I'd like to welcome you all here again this evening. It's a blessing to be here and have this opportunity to ordain some servants for the church. And it's just a real blessing to be a part and to be here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Father, we want to come to you this evening, Lord, and we just thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. And God, we ask your blessing upon this time together. Father and Lord, we ask your blessing, Father, as we prepare to receive gifts, Father, that you've given unto us, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us be faithful to you, Lord. And God, that you would help us be a light to this world. And Lord, that you would help us be the salt, Father, of the earth, Lord. Lord, we just thank you again. Help us, Lord, to do your will. Give us wisdom, understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. We read this morning in Ephesians how God gives gifts unto the church, to the edifying of the church. And He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Tonight we want to come together and ordain Brother Marcus and Brother Kevin. Brother Kevin, we're going to have him to be a deacon for us, and Brother Marcus be a minister. And we just we lived with these brethren for a long time, served with them, and we've learned a lot together. Kevin and I have been, don't know what, 24 or 5 years, something like that. 21 years since we met together. He met me in Walmart. I had met him one time, really didn't know him that well, but I think maybe was that the first time we met in Walmart? He saw me in there and came up and had heard that I'd been preaching on the streets, and he came into Walmart one evening, or he just met me there and just said, "I want to go with you sometime." And he's been right there going with us, and I think we about scared him to death at first. I know there was a time or two that we got in some pickles with preaching, and some people get upset, and he had never been around anything like that, hardly. It was a real blessing, though, to be with him and just been through a lot of things together. We've got a lot of confidence in him, more than he has in himself sometimes. That comes with part of it too. And I just really appreciate him. Brother Marcus, we met him 10 or 11 years ago with the same zeal, and the same desire, that the same purpose that we wanted to live holy lives and wanted to tell others about it instead of hiding out in some little corner somewhere and thinking that we're being a light just because we come together and have church once a week or twice a week. But we had a vision that we were to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and that message was to go out to others and to take it right to them. And it's been a real blessing to whenever I believed the Bible, when I believed Jesus 25 years ago, I didn't know of anyone. There were churches on every corner, and I had heard their messages. There were a few people that were Mennonites that I had lived within 10 miles of, but I never, growing up, even considered it a Christian church. It never even entered my mind that they were Christians. I just thought they were Mennonites. And I didn't know for sure what that was, but I knew it didn't ever register that they were followers of Jesus. And their goal and their plan was that if they just lived funny or lived different and dressed different than everyone else, that everyone would just recognize that this is God on earth and that they would be a light and a witness that way. And I lived within 10 miles of them all of my life. And I never even knew they were Christians. And that the time that I spent with those churches, I learned to love the people, still do. I don't count it a loss at all, the time that I spent there. I learned a lot of things from them. But more than anything, whenever I would have the opportunity to speak to them, I would tell them, you all have something that the world does not have. You all have a way of life and a way of living and a godliness about you that the world does not have. And I just begged them to get that message out to someone else. Whenever I began to follow the Lord 25 years ago, and I picked up a Bible, and I realized that the teachings of Jesus were for me, and that they were a demand that God had laid on my life and laid on all of our lives, and I began reading what it said about wealth. I was going to be a wealthy man 25 years ago. I had quite a few pieces of property in Monette. We were talking last night coming home. My next property had over 20 apartments in it. It's still there today. And I had that as my goal for the next place that I bought. But I began reading this book, and Jesus said not to lay up treasures in heaven. He told us about not to sell what we have and give to the poor and follow me. And whenever I found that, I talked to pastors and missionaries and preachers all over the country. I bought all the commentaries that I could find. And every one of them said something different than what Jesus said. Jesus expected obedience. Whenever I finally yielded to that, I was all alone. No one that I knew believed what I had found. We spent several years not even thinking I was crazy. And I know some of you all have been through the same thing. Just wondering why or how it says it so plainly and how no one else understood it with all these churches and all these religions. And it was a blessing that whenever I met Brother Kevin, that we didn't understand everything, but we knew something was terribly wrong, and we began eliminating things one by one. A lot of times we don't have the answers. We still don't have all the answers. But the way we've been doing it for the last several years is whenever we find a problem, instead of just looking over it, we begin to dig into the problem and find out what cannot work. and eliminate the things that cannot work. And you know, after a while, you get all of those things eliminated, and standing right in the middle is the very obvious that will work. Whenever you get all the stuff peeled away from it. And that's the way we've tried to operate here. That's the way we've found a lot of the things that we've found. And it's just been a blessing, and it's a privilege to be able to move forward. We've had our struggles, we've had our ups and downs. But in all of that, the desire of our hearts is that we just want to live for Jesus. He doesn't promise us an easy road. He doesn't promise us a nice, smooth path. And you know, there's things that have happened that where we have done wrong and made mistakes. But that's just part of it too. I say often that a perfect church has to have a bunch of imperfect people in it. If we're if the strong are to bear with the infirmities of the weak, you've got to have some weak people in it to show that that person is strong enough to handle them. And a lot of times the church, the problems that have come about in churches have been when someone who thought they were strong was looking down on someone who they thought was weak. And whenever a person does that, that shows that they're not as strong as they thought they were. We're here to lift each other up. And there will be problems. You know, if a person, talking about this the other day just a little bit, but if a person is looking down while he's trying to go up, you know what direction he's going to wind up going? If we're looking down on someone else, we're looking the wrong way. We should be looking up and leading instead of looking down and trying to find fault with someone below us. And I think that's one characteristic of a man who's going to follow the Lord. Who's going to be a leader. Not quick to find fault with others. But to press on forward and be an example. Whenever we start looking down, that causes problems. I've found most of the problems that have happened in churches hasn't come from some weak brother or sister who's not doing everything right. They hardly ever cause problems in a church. The problems in a church is when someone steps up and thinks they're way above everybody else and can't live with someone who's living a little weaker than they are. Sometimes there's a little struggle within families. Well, so-and-so does that, and so-and-so does this. Why can't we? The answer is because I'm not their father. I've heard Kevin say that many times. Because I'm not their father. You're my children, and we're going to do it my way. And I'm convinced whenever a church has men that are able to train their children right, not giving them an attitude about someone else that's doing wrong, but when children are able to train their children to follow the Lord and to maybe not be able to do some other things that others are able to do, when you have fathers like that, that there can be that kind of differences and still not develop a self-righteous attitude in the children and still be able to maintain those things. That's what makes a strong church. We don't get offended. We have no right to be offended by anything anyone does. I think a lot of times people put their confidence in the churches that they're in. And then when something goes wrong, then they get bitter and get all upset. and they just want to run away. That isn't the problem of the one that offended them. He'll have his trouble. The Bible says offenses will come. But woe unto that man that brings them. He'll have his trouble. But if someone offends you, and then you get offended, you're doing the same thing. It's just like the non-resistance that we talk about and try to live. Two wrongs do not make a right. If someone's done you wrong, don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at that person. You rise above it. That's the life of Christ. Be a servant. Be someone who isn't upset when someone doesn't perform the way they think they ought to. Learn from it and go on. Don't instill those things in your children whenever you're... Don't rise up above them and look down on them. Don't give them that attitude. Give them an attitude of a servant. Bless those that do you wrong. Even in the church. If someone doesn't treat you right, what do? Do you get upset about it? Or do you look for a way? Maybe they're having a bad day and maybe I can help them. Become a servant in that way. And I think that's what Jesus said, that he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. Let him be your servant. That's what we want. We want men that will be servants. Not men that are just ready to jump on every little problem. I mean, there's a lot of talk about that today, that a real church, they just reprove each other and sharpen each other like that. That don't work. You live that life. You be an example. When someone does something wrong or someone starts causing problems, it needs to be taken care of. But whenever Jesus said that you go to that person, it's whenever they've offended you. It's when they've done something wrong. It's not just because you don't like what they're doing. Brother Marcus, the other day, where we were talking about something, and he said, you know, a lot of times whenever someone wants to correct somebody about something, what they really want to do is correct something that they don't like in that person that just causes them problems. If someone does you wrong, or something that annoys you, when someone does something that annoys you and you want to change that so it doesn't annoy you anymore, you're not trying to help them. You're trying to help yourself. That's not the attitude of a servant. We want a servant. We want someone who's willing to put up with other people's problems. To put up with things that annoy them. That will learn to live with those things. So that they can strengthen themselves and help others. We want a minister and a deacon, someone who can take care of problems in their own home. We want ministers and deacons and preachers and men who are able to stand up in their home. It doesn't mean everything will be perfect in your home. It makes me so sick to see preachers that have this idealistic home and it's fake as you can get it. Everything's just in order, but the children are just bowls full of mush. I've seen it, that the children don't want to offend daddy's ministry. That's not the way it ought to be. It looks good on the outside, maybe, but it isn't real. It's fake. We want... We want men that'll lead their homes like they would lead their church. If there's something causing problems in it, they take care of that problem. And that sometimes might mean losing a child or two. You know, whenever the Bible says that He has His home in order, it doesn't mean that every child that He's ever had is right there with Him. It means that His house is in order. And when there's something wrong with it, He fixes it. Whatever it costs to fix it. Whenever the church loses someone, or someone needs to be disciplined in the church, we need a man that's willing to put up and do that discipline, no matter how hard it may be. Just want to encourage you all to encourage them, to encourage their wives and their family. Don't make their children feel like preacher's children. There's no need for that. We're all one. They're not getting some high title and high position. They're just becoming servants. Just like you are. Just like everyone else. Except they have some responsibilities now to take care of. We just want to recognize those. And that's what we're doing today. Just want to encourage us all. We're all in this together. We just want to have a place where we can each work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That each one of us can safely do that in a body that follows the kingdom teachings of Christ. That put into practice the teachings of Jesus. That's our goal. I think that's the goal of Brother Kevin and Brother Marcus. And I think it's a real blessing to be able to lay hands on them and give them these responsibilities that we're laying on them. They've already been doing a lot of it. I counsel with them often. Before I make hardly any decision, I talk with one or the other of them. Maybe some of you all, others as well. That's good advice. Whenever you're getting ready to make a decision, just ask somebody else about it. Just ask one of these brothers. Just run it by someone else before you're ready to make a big decision. You'll be surprised how often that we're all thinking the same thing anyway. It's been a real blessing. It's been just amazing how often that I'll be thinking something and before I can even say it, I'll hear somebody else say it. There's one church. It's a universal church. And it's a church that people who are wanting to stand and listen to the Lord fit with each other. That they have one goal and one mission. And that's to glorify Christ with their life. We'll give a little opportunity now to Kevin. You want to share a little bit of something you have?
Just do it really, just help. so thankful for the congregation here, for each one that I've learned to know and to love, and that I'm learning to know. I want to say it's been such a blessing to labor under Brother David for the last 9 or 10 years, and just work together with him, and just see the kingdom of God grow, and also to learn together. Thank you for this. First of all, the Lord for calling you to do something more than just have a comfortable life. And my desire is to see the kingdom of heaven grow. I just look forward to helping Brother Kevin and Brother David. I feel very young and insufficient. I'm growing and I want to grow more. I ask your prayers and I need your help. Thank the Lord for each one of you. Pray for my family, you. And I'll give you this.
Come on. Anyone else like to share anything? Feel free to. All right. Well, this will last. Brethren, to come up front, we'll
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. We anoint these brethren to your service, commit them to you. Lord, we just ask that your Spirit would be upon them, Father, mightily. Lord, that the Spirit of Jesus Christ would live and reign in their lives. Lord, that you would help them not be turned aside by fears and foolish questions. Lord, that you would give them wisdom. Lord, that your grace and your power will be upon their lives, Father. That they would be men of God. Maybe not recognized by the world, but recognized among other saints, Lord. We pray that you would fill them with your Spirit, Lord. That you would be with their families and their homes. Lord, that you would help their wives, Lord, to be submissive and obedient. Lord, that you would help them to yield themselves to their husbands. And Lord, carry out their will in their family and their children. Bless their children, Father. Lord, that you would help them be brought up in the fear of the Lord. Lord, that they might have a desire to walk in the steps of their fathers, to walk in the steps of Jesus. Lord, we just ask you to again bless them, give my brother Kevin to be a deacon in your church, brother Marcus to be a minister. Lord, that they would carry out their responsibilities as servants. And Lord, that you would bless them, Father. Again, we just thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be here. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be a servant of Christ, to be a part of the church of the living God. Lord, I just pray again that you would help us to be faithful to you, Lord, until you return, or until you call us to speak to you. In Jesus' name.
Oh.